All right, grab a seat. Well, good morning. And I'm glad you're here. If you're a guest today, if it's your first time with us, I want to introduce myself. My name's Trey Kelly. I'm the lead pastor here. Oh, too kind. Really, really glad you're here. You picked a great Sunday. We're in the middle of a series. We started this series last week. And the topic we're talking about, we picked it intentionally because for us, this is a great foundation to begin 2026. Because the topic we talked about last week, this week, and next week is communication. And here's how we defined it last week. Communication is the successful exchange of information, ideas, or feelings. Here's what we said last week. Communication, ultimately, is how we share ourselves with each other. It's how we grow close to each other. It is the foundation of every relationship we have. And regardless of how you see 2026 going, regardless of what your dreams are, what your hopes are, maybe even what your resolutions are, improving the relationships we have in our life, in doing that by improving our ability to share with each other the highs, the lows, the successes, the failures, I can't think of anything that would have more of a universal value moving into 2026. So that's why we're spending a few weeks talking about this. If this is your first week, it means you missed last week. So if you don't have it, I'm going to encourage you to grab our app. Great way to stay connected, but we put all our content there. That's why it matters. Because if after today, if you want to go back and you want to hear last week, or maybe you're traveling next week and you don't want to make sure that you don't miss it, grab our app. It's a great way to stay connected, and you can follow along with us. Because here's the good news. Here's what we talked about last week. Even though communication is a struggle, right? It's a struggle for me. It's probably a struggle for you. We've all had those moments where we thought we were so clear and the other person missed it. We've also had those moments where we thought we totally understood and then to find out later we missed it completely. Right, we've all had those experiences, and the good news is, as we said last week, the God of the universe has solved this problem for us because he's given us a standard. He's given us a command, and he simply says, if you just do this, everything would be okay. We looked at the standard last week. I'm going to read it to you again now. It's do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, if you missed last week, and this is your first time reading this, let me give you the experience all of us had last week. Because we all read that and thought, well, sure, but who in the world can do that? We all had that experience. And so this is kind of the way we looked at it. It's how I challenged you to think about it last week. When we read that, we apply it to ourselves as a standard we have to carry into the world. It feels heavy. It feels like we can't really meet that, which Jesus would say, of course you can. If you could do this on your own, you wouldn't have needed me. But we're going to get to that in a minute. Before we get there, here's what we did last week. We said, let's imagine for a moment that this was the standard the rest of the world used for us. And we all liked the standard a lot more. We started thinking, you know what? That'd be pretty great. This is the way my spouse and my kids and my boss and my in-laws and my aunt and my uncle. And then we all thought about social media. And we were like, Facebook! What if everybody... But then there'd be no comments on Facebook if this was the standard. But that's a different story. But we really started asking, wouldn't we like this if this is the way the world communicated with us? And I think we all pretty universally agreed, yeah, that would be a pretty great standard. And so what I kind of challenged us to do last week, because it's what Jesus would have challenged us to do, is say, hey, well, if there's this new standard out there and it sounds great for you, why don't you spend the week controlling the only thing you have control over, which is yourself? And rather than observing and complaining about how people speak to you, what if you flipped it? And what if we all just asked this question? Am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? And this is kind of where we left it. And I sent you off and I challenged you to prayerfully consider this question. And if you consider yourself a Christian, to let the Holy Spirit kind of remind you this week that this was a question. And the cool thing is I've had some of you reach out. So I know you asked this question. I know some of you took this very seriously, and I've heard reports that some of you even say, it stopped me from saying something I would have regretted. And I'm like, way to go. But again, if you were here last week, I told you, this question is only going to get us part of the way there. Because it's a good start, but if you tried it this week, you probably also realized that it has some limitations. Because the limitation is you. The limitation is your personality. The limitation is your preferences. Like for me, for example, I have discovered through 46 years of my life that the way I speak and the way I'm fine with people speaking to me is not necessarily the way people want me to speak to them. Depending on how well you know me, this isn't going to come as much of a shock, but I have been told from time to time I have a tendency to be direct. I have a tendency to be a little blunt. I have a tendency to be a little harsh sometimes in my speaking. And so that's fine for me, but not everybody wants to be spoken to that way. This was really kind of brought to bear for me years ago. Our team worked with a leadership coach for, I guess, about a decade on off and on. And she's an amazing woman. And one day she was talking to me and we were talking about conflict or something. And I had said something. And I think I said, well, Fran, I was nice. And she went, oh, Trey. Do you really not know? I was like, know what? And she said, Trey, when you are trying as hard as you can, and when you are being as kind and as gentle and as soft and as easy as your body will allow you to be, when you are trying the hardest you can, the rest of the world registers that as normal human behavior. Good to know. But that's how I wish people would speak to me. But not always. I don't always want blunt either. It depends on how I feel in those moments. For example, this afternoon, when Danielle and I are at home and I've talked three times, if she decides that she maybe didn't care for the message or didn't care for this hour or whatever, guess what I don't want her to be this afternoon? I don't want her to be blunt this afternoon. I don't even want her to be blunt on Monday. By Tuesday, I might be ready for blunt. So you see the problem. When we make ourselves the standard, we make the standard subjective. But the problem is that we need an objective solution. Now, we all know the difference, but think about this for a minute. Subjective refers to our feelings. It's our opinion on a matter. People can have different opinions. That's a subjective idea. Objective is an observable, measurable fact. 2 + 2 = 4. That is an objective, observable fact. What's the best movie of all time? That is a subjective question based on your life experience and your feelings. If you ask my wife and I, we would have different greatest movies of all time. Hers would be a romantic comedy. I think today it's You've Got Mail. But you never know. Other people might have other movies that they think are the greatest movie of all time. And you can argue about those things, but it's a subjective issue. It's an opinion issue. And so we can't use our opinions as the validator of how we treat other people because our opinions are subjective. We need something objective. And you deal with this every day in your lives. For example, if I were to ask you, what's the temperature in your home? What do you keep the thermostat at? What's the temperature? You'd all have the same number, 68 degrees, 70 degrees, wherever you keep it. That's a number that is objective. Now, if I were to ask you the question, Is it cold in your house? Well, now that is an opinion. Some of you would say, oh, it feels very cold to me. Others would say it feels very hot to me. And depending on your age and situation of life, that could change like this at any moment. Boop, 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 boop. So we get this idea of subjective and objective. Even in communication, we struggle with this. Let's take the topic of yelling. Well, is yelling subjective or is yelling objective? Depends on who's doing the yelling, right? If you are the one receiving the yelling, it feels objective. You are yelling at me, and I want you to stop yelling. If you are the more forceful person in your relationship, and you tend to speak loudly from time to time, yelling is very subjective to you. Because when someone says objectively, stop yelling at me, your response, if it's like my response, is, this isn't yelling. If you want me to yell, I'll show you yelling. But this is not it. So see, for something as crucial as communication, there's value to the question we asked last week. I do want to be clear on that. There is value to asking the question, am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me? And the value in that question is awareness. Okay, it just simply brings to front of mind and to front of our action and our thoughts and our heart, hey, this matters. The way I communicate matters. And even observing in yourself, why do I like it if they're direct sometimes? Why do I like it when they're not direct other times? Does it depend on the topic? So it's a good starter. It's a good beginner question. And I'm glad we spent a week doing it because we've grown in our awareness over this issue. But also, even if it didn't occur to you before, hopefully it has now, there's a limit to that. And that's because, I'm saying it this way, saying that communication is a subjective struggle in need of an objective solution. It's a struggle built around feelings. It's a struggle built around opinions. How do we want to be spoken to? How do we want to speak? That can change. That's subjective. What we need is an objective truth. We need something we can do 100% of the time that we know is going to work no matter what. And unfortunately, if we're the standard, it's not going to cut it. We need something better. And wouldn't you know it? The God of the universe, in his goodness, has given us the answer. And it comes to us through probably one of the top five most famous things Jesus ever said. In fact, I want to take you to the night where he said it. I kind of got to set the scene for a moment. You probably know that Jesus was crucified on a Friday afternoon. He was buried, and Sunday morning he came back to life. Well, the night before, Thursday night, he and his disciples had a meal together. It's what Christians call the Last Supper. They were gathering together to celebrate, and this was the night where Jesus told them what was about to happen. This is also the night, if you've ever read about it, this is where Jesus washes the disciples' feet. This is where he tells them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father except through me. He leads them to the Garden of Gethsemane where he prays, and then he's eventually arrested and handed over to the Romans so that he could pay the price for our mistakes. So this night's a big deal. It's a big deal to our faith. Jesus said some important things. So important, in fact, that after Easter, we're going to spend a month really diving in to all that he taught us there. So for today, I just want to take you to one quick verse. Because it's this quick verse where he gives us the new standard. He gives us the better standard. He gives us the objective standard that we can use at all times in all situations. He gives us the objective answer to our subjective struggle. Here's what he says. It's after dinner. They've calmed down. And he says, guys, I want to give you a new commandment. And they probably kind of stopped what they were doing and perked up because they'd been with Jesus for 3 years. He hadn't really said this a whole lot. Sermon on the Mount, which kind of was his introduction to the world. It was how he explained the ethic that was going to be embodied by his kingdom, the new kingdom he was bringing in. And he did in that say lots of things about, you've heard it said, but I say. And so he was clarifying, he was expanding what they considered the law of God at the time, which was the law of Moses that had been handed down to the people of Israel. But now, he says something new. He says, I have a new commandment for you. And so I'm sure they all are like, oh, new, okay. This should be interesting. And then he says, love each other. They were probably a little confused because how's that new? I say, Jesus, you've been telling us for 3 years to love each other. Everything you've done has been about loving. How is that a new commandment? And they're like us. They ask questions before he's done speaking because he wasn't done. He says, love each other. And then he says this, just as I have loved you, you should love each other. He never said that before. Because what he did for them and what he did for us is he solved the problem. He said, you don't love like you want to be loved. You love how you've experienced the love from me. Jesus made himself the standard for how we are to treat other people, which is beautiful because it takes our preferences out of it. And it takes our life experiences out of it. It matters, but Jesus has been speaking to us into those moments, into that life experience at all times. And so what we get to do when it comes to words is basically say, I don't want to be the standard. I want Jesus to be my standard. Which means the question we asked last week, am I speaking to others how I wish they would speak to me, gets us partway there, but it has a limit. Today, Jesus gives us the answer to that limit. And he says, hey, look, I get that you value communication. I get that you want to speak to people. You want to obey that command. I understand. Here's how you do it. Don't make yourself the standard. Make me the standard. And begin asking it this way. Am I speaking to others how Jesus speaks to me? See? That takes all the guesswork out of it. It takes all of our rationalizations out of it. It takes all of our excuses out of it. Because we're not the standard. And here's the great news. We don't have to wonder how Jesus speaks. We have four biographies of his life. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Those are the first four books of our New Testament. Men who walked with Jesus. Men filled with the Holy Spirit wrote biographies. And they interviewed eyewitnesses, and they wrote down direct quotes. So we can read those four biographies, and we can get to know Jesus better. We can understand what he thinks about different situations. We can see how he interacts with different sorts of people. We can see how he interacts with his followers. We can see how he interacts with broken people. We can see how he interacts with arrogant people. We can see how he interacts. But it's not just those four biographies. We then have the next book in our New Testament, the book of Acts, is a history of how the men and women who followed Jesus at the beginning, how they took that command to love like he loved us, and how they begin to live that out in the world, and how it began to spread the message of Jesus so far and so wide that 2,000 years later on the other side of the planet, we're still gathering to sing his praises. That's all because they took to heart the new command to love like he had loved them. We then have these letters written by the apostles. And in each one of these letters, every single instruction, every single command, every single way of handling an issue is simply explaining how to keep what Paul calls the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Love. As I have loved you. So every instruction, everything we read, everything trying to explain it is saying, this is how Jesus loves us. And if we want to love other people, this should be our standard as well. Even the verse we've been talking about last week, this week, and next week, the verse we built the whole series on, look at it. When he says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. You know what Paul's really doing? Paul's not giving us a to-do list. Paul is basically saying, this is how Jesus speaks to me. He never says anything unwholesome. Every word Jesus speaks is helpful to me. Every word he speaks is designed to build me up, specifically according to my need, and it benefits me when I listen. It benefits me when I receive it. It benefits me when I apply it. That is how the God of the universe speaks. And so what Paul is saying is simply, speak like our King does. Love like our King does. Forgive like our King does. Show mercy like our King does. Be generous like our King is. Be honest like our King is. Every single instruction, every single teaching in the New Testament is simply inviting us to not make ourselves the standard, but to turn to a higher, better, more perfect standard, the King of Kings. So think about it. What would happen this week in your interactions and in your conversations if you asked this question? Am I speaking to others how Jesus speaks to me? I bet the standard would change, wouldn't it? I bet you'd end up saying less harmful things and more helpful things throughout the week. Next week, as we wrap up this series, we're going to dive really deep into this and discover how the better we know ourselves and each other, the easier it is to get this right. But there's a more fundamental question we kind of need to wrestle with before we land the plane today. Because what we're saying is that Jesus is the standard. What we're saying is that he loves us perfectly. And what we're saying is, as we try to reflect that love, that's how we spread him in the world, and that's how we obey his commands. That's how we keep his standard. So it all really comes down to how Jesus speaks. So if I want to speak like Jesus and you want to speak like Jesus, there's a question we should all ask, right? And the question is this: do I know how Jesus speaks? I don't want you to think about that for a second. Don't just let that one bounce. I give you permission to wander for a second. Do you know how Jesus speaks? Do you hear him speak to you? Do you feel like you are in relationship with him? Because he wants to be your good shepherd. He wants to be your guide. He wants to be your leader. So that's what he invites us all into. And again, we learn how he speaks through his word. We can read. And as we read, God's Holy Spirit can explain and can help us understand. And we can understand deeper truths about ourselves and about other people. We learn how he speaks when we gather together and we sing songs, and he puts thoughts in our heart. We learn how he speaks when we gather together and someone gives a lesson from his word. That's him speaking to us. And it's crucial that we know how he speaks to us so that we can begin to label the voices in our head that aren't his. Because I know for some of us, when I say, speak to others how Jesus speaks to me, your first thought is, I would never speak to anyone the way he speaks to me. Because in your mind, he speaks words of condemnation. He speaks words of guilt and shame. He speaks words of destruction. And it breaks my heart that that's how you think Jesus speaks. And now understand why you think that. It's because people in his name sometimes speak that way. But the cool thing about our God is that he doesn't change when people don't perfectly obey him. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I can tell you unequivocally with 100% certainty, he is not mad at you. He does not want you to feel guilt, and he does not want you to feel shame. And your response is, dude, you don't know what I've done. You're right, but I know what he did. I don't have to know what you've done. See, the reason he sent Jesus to earth, the reason he lived a perfect, sinless life, was because of sin. I've sinned, you've sinned, we all sin. We all make mistakes. We've all done things God doesn't want us to do. We all carry the guilt and regret from those mistakes. That sin caused God to be angry. God is rightfully angry towards sin. And his anger must be satisfied. In fact, he has to destroy sin. But rather than destroy us, what he did was he sent his son Jesus to live a perfect, sinless life, to never once step outside of God's perfect plan. And then Jesus willfully laid down his life as a sacrifice to cover the penalty and payment of my sin and your sin and the world's sin once for all time. That's why Jesus' last words were, "It is finished." It clearly wasn't his ministry that was finished because he came back to life. It wasn't his mission. It wasn't God's movement on earth. What was finished was the punishment the world deserved. Fully, finally satisfied on the cross. Here's what I mean. If in your brain, when Jesus speaks to you, he speaks condemningly, he accuses you, he tells you you don't measure up, that's not your king talking. That's pain talking. That's your friends talking. That's your ex talking. Maybe it's your parents talking. Maybe it's your grandma. I don't know, but it's not Jesus. Now, Jesus corrects, absolutely. He's our good shepherd, but he always does it kindly. And he always does it in a comforting way that pushes us towards the future he has planned for us. And so before we can speak like Jesus, we've got to all wrestle. Do we know how he speaks? And if you consider yourself a Christ follower today, clearly you do. You wouldn't have placed your faith in him. But this week, maybe spend some time asking him to clarify for you the way he would handle a certain situation, the way he would speak to your child who needs loving correction and discipline. Maybe the way he would speak to your boss or your employee because you're having a conflict. You can bring him in to the discussion. And depending on what you're dealing with, you might be able to read an exact parallel in the New Testament for how he spoke about it. And then you can use him as your standard. And as I said, we're going to pick up on this more next week. But there's one group of people I do want to address before we go. And I talk to you every week because I'm so honored that you attend. But every week we have people who attend our church. But you don't consider Jesus your Lord. You wouldn't consider yourself a Christ follower. You're just kind of checking things out. And look, man, we are honored that you're here. I say it all the time. We designed our church with you in mind. And here's the cool thing about God's principles. They're true no matter what. They work no matter what. And so you can apply some of this, and you might be able to behavior modify your way into slightly better communication over the short term. But we could be honest with you. Jesus' standards, Jesus' way work when you are connected to him. And so if this sounds good and you have these ideas of what you think God could do in your life, then I encourage you, before you get there, make the choice today to begin a relationship with the God of the universe through his son Jesus, because here's why Jesus came for you. It's what I just talked about. But I want to take us to a verse. Somebody called it this week. They called it the end zone verse. It's the verse the guys used to put on signs and hold up in the end zone because it's John 3:16. It's the most famous verse, I think, in the Bible because it's quoting Jesus, and here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." That's what we just talked about. He sent his son to sacrifice so we wouldn't perish. So we did not have to deal with the ramifications and the punishment of our mistakes. He took our punishment for us. And then he came back to life to prove that he was so powerful that there was no circumstance in our lives he couldn't overcome. And it's that man, that love, that willingness to lay down his life, that power. I can overcome anything in you if you'll let me. That is who is offering to be our king and to be our comfort and to be our Lord. And so all of us can leave here today, regardless of where we stand with Jesus, and we can all ask this question. We can all ask, am I speaking to others how Jesus speaks to me? And if you know how Jesus speaks to you, spend this week, dive in, ask him to make so clear to you the love and the compassion and the mercy with which he speaks, and ask him to fill you with that as you communicate with your friends and your family, your neighbors and your coworkers. And if you aren't sure, we can ask the other question. Do I know how Jesus speaks? Let him reveal himself to you this week. And if you're here today and you say, I don't know how Jesus speaks, I maybe have heard snippets, but I do not have a relationship with him, to you I say, I'm honored that you're here. And I would love to give you an opportunity right now to change your mind. I'd love to give you an opportunity to begin a relationship with Jesus right now. I invite everybody in the room to bow their heads for a moment. Just bow your head, close your eyes. And if today you would like to begin a relationship with Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud. And as I do, you just repeat this prayer in your hearts to Jesus. Say, Jesus, I want a relationship with you. Jesus, I admit that I've made mistakes. I admit I've ignored your ways. I admit that I'm a sinner. I know I broke the relationship. But Father, today I believe that through your Son, Jesus, you've forgiven me. You paid the price for all sin, past, present, and future. I believe that your Son came back to life, that he physically, literally walked out of the grave as proof that I could have a new life as well. And so in this moment, Father, I commit my life to your Son. I make him the leader. I make him my Lord. And I promise to trust in him as I walk through the rest of 26 and beyond. Thank you, Father, for rescuing me. Now, I want you to keep your head bowed for just a moment. But I want you to know, if you prayed with us just now, we believe something supernatural happened. We believe you just began a relationship with Jesus, and that relationship will be fostered through his local church. And we would love to be your church. And part of being your church is walking with you through moments like this. See, one of the first things our King asks of us when we accept him is to go public, to let people know we've done it through something called baptism. We're not baptizing today, but that is a step we'd love to walk with you through. But we do like to give people a very quick opportunity right at the start to go public in a private way, to just let a few of us know what's happened in your heart. In a moment, I'm going to count to three. And when I do, if you prayed with me, if you began a relationship with Jesus today, we're just going to ask you to raise your hand and keep it up until I tell you to put it down. And you can imagine, this is your very first public declaration that Jesus is the leader of your life. Ready? One, two, three. Just put your hand up. Put your hand up and keep them up. Just hold them up. Keep them up. Just imagine that you're reaching out to your Father. Just imagine you're reaching out to your King. And he's there. He's giving back. He's telling you he loves you. Okay, you can put your hands down and look at me for just a second. We're about to enter into our time of response. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It is your opportunity to decide in your hearts how you are going to respond based on what the God of the universe has spoken to your heart today. If you are carrying a burden today and you need someone to pray for you, our prayer team is going to be down front. They would love to pray with you. As always, we have communion available in the vestibules if you just want to thank God for who he is today. You may want to stand and sing and reflect on maybe a conversation you had this week and let Jesus show you how he would have had it differently. I don't know, but it's your chance to respond. And if you pray with me just a moment ago, and if you raise your hand, we have a next step for you as well. We want to be your church. We want to help you follow Jesus, and that means we need to get to know you just a little bit. And so when we stand to sing in just a moment, if you prayed with us, we invite you to simply step out of the aisle, make your way to the back. We have ushers back there who want to guide you to an area we've created. We've got some volunteers who would just love to get to know you and really help you know how to get started well on the lifelong journey of following Jesus. We would be honored if you do that for us. So I'm going to pray. Then we're going to respond to our Heavenly Father. Father, we love you so much. God, we just thank you for your Son. We thank you for his wisdom and his truth. We thank you for his kindness. We thank you for his clarity. And Lord, we just pray in this moment that as we are flooded with your love and as we are reminded how you speak to us, Father, may your words heal us. May they cleanse us. And may your word flow through us so that we can get better at sharing ourselves and understanding the people closest to us. We thank you for this gift. We ask you to bless us as we pursue it. And we thank you in your Son's holy, precious name. Amen. Stand to our feet. Let's respond.